time for our reading now. It is taken from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. So if you'd like to follow, Galatians chapter 2, page 1169, or it'll be on the screen behind me. Paul opposes Peter. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you are God of grace. Help us to receive your grace today. Speak to our hearts afresh and anew, and Lord, challenge us to be grace givers. Amen. A lot of this, of course, has kind of, you know, you look at Galatians 1, I'm going to refer back to that a little bit in a minute, because actually it kind of all just kind of swings into each other, the same theme. You can see the themes coming out here, can't you? But where are we? Where are we at the moment in Galatians 2, from 11 to 21? Well, Galatians, of course, deals with the question of law, and with law without grace is kind of like a dead religion, isn't it? If we have no grace, we're dead, basically. It's not real. It's not a real knowing Jesus religion. It also deals with the disagreement over who is and who isn't in the kingdom of God and how we get there. You know, the religious laws, the practices are all a part of this, and there's these arguments going on about how we're meant to live. And it deals with how living with Christ in us changes things as well. And that's really where this bit of scripture, I really love this Christ living in you, and I'm going to emphasize that a little bit in a little bit's time. And I want us to really be thinking about, what does it mean for Christ to be living in me? I don't mean me, well, I do mean me, but I mean, say that for you as well, okay? What does it mean for Christ to be living in you? It's all a little bit messy, isn't it? Doesn't it feel a little bit messy? You read Galatians, you think, church is getting a bit messy here. And I thought to myself, oh, it's a bit like church today. Things have always been a bit messy. Yesterday we had, then, I say, the Women's Day, and it was brilliant. It was about God in hard places. By the end of the day, after hearing all this, some amazing stories about God's grace in hard places and difficult lives, difficult stories, it reminded me that it really is in the hard places that we do learn to praise, that we learn who we are, we learn who God is. But it also made me think very much about how it is because Jesus lives in us, we change and grow and are transformed. It's about that living faith, isn't it? In a living God, not a dead God. It's his grace living in us that helps us to be transformed, makes us different to who we are, helps us to live our life differently, helps us to forgive, to let go of things, to move on. So here we have Galatians 1. The people are accused of preaching, of course, a different gospel to the one that Paul preaches. You'll remember that. They weren't preaching the good news as far as he was concerned, so they weren't good news. And today, things are no different, to be honest. I have to say, I have been into some churches that hardly mention the word Jesus or the Holy Spirit, and actually the Holy Spirit can be a real no-go in areas. And I've also been into some churches that worship the law almost above love, and instead of freedom, they seem to bring oppression to the people. You can have extremes in all sorts, can't you? A legalistic or legalism or liberalism can lead to an ineffective church if we're not careful. We have to be careful not to be either. We will only live a holy life and one without fear if we not only teach the truth of Jesus but live the truth of Jesus Christ. And we have enough of his life to see how he behaved and what he did to guide us. It means being different to the world because the world gives us empty promises, and it means showing the world that Jesus actually leads us to hope and eternal promises. His promises are something completely different to what the world promises, isn't it? Freedom, hope, love, forgiveness, a new start. A God who sees us in all our brokenness and still loves us. In a world that often teaches actually immorality, legalism, negativity. And have you noticed how critical people are today? I don't know about you, but I read Facebook and Twitter sometimes and I'm horrified. It's almost like we have a right. You know, and there's a site that I'm on and if you just put the slightest thing that somebody just jumps on it and there's all this criticism and it's completely unmerited. It's very easy to get caught into that, isn't it? You know, and it's almost like we have a success at any cost kind of mentality now. We've got to look successful, got big houses, look like we are important. We live in a very celebrity culture and a different kind of culture maybe to what some of us grew up in. You see, Jesus teaches us that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to be honoured. We honour our bodies. We honour who we are. Jesus teaches us how to show grace to each other. To be different. He teaches us how putting others before our own needs is a good thing. And he calls us to care for the world that we live in. We are to seek him first and the rest will follow. It's completely different. He doesn't gossip about people. He pays blessing on them. He corrects them in love. He moves them on in love. Amazing Jesus, the way he does things. Go and really look at the way he does things. And he often has a problem, actually, with the lawgivers, the oppressors. Not often, always, actually. Not the others. Not the broken and the ones that are really trying to get it right, but finding things hard. Here in the scriptures read, we have Paul and Cephas, which is actually Peter. It's Peter, okay? Having a disagreement. Why? Because Peter is actually full of fear. He's full of fear. This one, Peter, I love Peter because I love the fact that Peter is so flawed, actually, because we all are. And I love the fact that here we have Paul going, actually, you know what? You've got it wrong. It's wonderful, isn't it? But we have Peter here, full of fear, turning from the truth he had begun to walk in. He's returning to law instead of grace. And I think sometimes we can do that without even realizing it. As Christians, we can start to walk the line, and suddenly we end up being back in the law, and we've forgotten all about the grace that we had when we first became Christians, and we forget sometimes to give that grace to others as well that are struggling. And it's really important we are grace givers, not law givers. It's quite likely that Paul has included this particular subject at this moment in Galatians, at this point as well, because he was speaking against Peter, the great apostle. And because he was speaking against Peter, the great apostle, let's be honest, that would be news to undermine him. And if you remember in Galatians 1, it was clear that his apostleship had been questioned and he was being undermined, his teaching. And it may well be a part of that was to do with this particular situation. Peter had been eating with uncircumcised Gentiles, quite happily, having table fellowship, as it was called. By eating with them, he's recognizing that they are part of Christian family, is part of the family. It's a big thing in Jewish culture to eat with people like that. It was about embracing them and recognizing them. But then we have James's men coming along, and Peter changes his ways, fearing their judgment. His influence affects others as well. So they will do the same. They'll follow suit when Peter does it. And Paul rebukes him. Do you know, none of us are beyond correction, are we? None of us. We all need correction at times. We must always be aware of the influence we have to lead others in certain directions. And that's important. I wonder if there have been times when you've come to believe something and, yeah, have held back in fear of the rejection of others. I wonder when you or I, when we sought to please people, not God, could it even be that at times we have, or you, me, have played down our Christian faith? It's a question to ask us. Is there times when I've been afraid to speak out what I really believe? Is there times when I've played it down? Once again here, Paul is preoccupied with teaching that grace is better than law. Thank goodness he's preoccupied by teaching that. That means when we are legalistic, we're not teaching the truth. When we are teaching grace, community, acceptance and love, we are teaching truth. But it isn't as simple as that, you know, because we have to teach how to live moral lives and holy lives at the same time as not being legalistic. And sometimes we look at one and the other and we get a little mixed up, I think. In verse 17, it makes it clear that we should always be continuing to examine our motives, our own lives. All of us. Look at yourself first. That's what I say. Examine your own motives first. Examine your own lives first. Not living lives that are sin. And that means sin is when things that take us away from God. Things that take us in a way that are not good. How can we do this? But how can we do that? How can we live that life? It's so hard, isn't it? Well, Paul makes that clear, because Jesus lives in us. That's key. It's key. We have a living faith. We become his when we allow ourselves to be crucified with him and raised with him through the Spirit. In other words, Lord, less of me and more of you in my life, please. Take control of my life, because I know my God will make a much better deal of it than I will. When Jesus is living in us, things change. Do you know, if law could have saved us, if we'd have done a few rituals, if law could have saved us, Jesus would not have needed to die. The point is, it is God's love and grace that saves us. And so when we live in him and we know him, we will be holy people, full of love and grace, set aside. We're different. We show love, we show grace. This means we're able to live differently and be people who are set apart. That we'll be people of hope, people of the good news, people who are good news to other people. Are you good news to other people? Are you good news? Am I good news? Paul affirms that we have Christ living in us. It's wonderful, isn't it? He's living in us. He's living in you now. If you know Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit there, he's living there. How does it work, though? And do you know that Jesus is living in you? Do you know it? And what difference does that make to how you live? Well, I'm going to find a little YouTube... a YouTube clip. And I just want to play this because I thought this was quite a good way of kind of thinking a little bit about it.
A supernatural life in the natural. We simply don't have the strength. The only way to live that life is to let Christ live his life through us. Now, I'd like to try to illustrate that. This illustration I'm going to use is so simple, it's almost embarrassing, and I almost chucked it three times, but I'm going to go ahead and try it anyway. I have here with me a glove. Okay, it's a work glove. It's well made, it's got leather and Velcro, it's tightly stitched together. This glove is designed for work. It's made to lift and carry, so it ought to be able to do some work. So I say to that glove, pick up that Bible. It doesn't do anything. Well, maybe what that glove needs is some encouragement, some inspiration. Come on, glove, you can do it. You were made to pick up that book. There's nothing. Maybe the glove needs some training, needs to be discipled. So I'm going to do some one-on-one here and say, come on, you know, you put your thumb and fingers together and there's still nothing. Maybe what the glove needs is some fellowship. You know, get some other gloves hanging around them. and maybe get the hang of it. We'll make it a multicultural fellowship here and just... There's still nothing. You know what I think? I think this glove needs to make a commitment. It needs to rededicate itself to being a glove. Raise a hand and come forward and get baptized or something. Now you get the point. It's painfully obvious at this point. Even though that glove was designed for work, it can't do work until a living hand fills every part of it and does its work through the glove. And that's how the Christian life works. We are not able to live the supernatural life of God in our own strength. Now, we have the capacity for it. We were made for it. But we don't have the power for it because of our fallen human condition. The only way to live that life is to let Christ live his life through us. And he does that through his Holy Spirit.
Thank you. I thought he did that very well, so I wouldn't attempt it. But anyway, you get the point. You get the point. So the question has to be, do I let Christ live through me? Is he living through me? And actually, I wanted to take that a little bit further, actually, because there was something else that spoke to me when I was sort of listening to that. So what if you accept Jesus, you know Jesus... You let him into your life, and I think sometimes I've been guilty of this, but I limit his movement and control. I limit what God's allowed to do for me. I get something called Raynaud's. Does anyone know what Raynaud's is? You get your extremities and your fingers get really cold and kind of, well, it's horrible anyway. I know some of you suffer from it as well. But it means that my ends of my fingers get really, really cold at different times, and I have a problem with that. So I bought my own glove, which I nicked off Paul. Okay. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, when I get really, really cold like that and stuff like that, I have a tendency to put on a glove that's got fingers and go like that because it's warmer for my fingers. So I have a tendency not to use the fingers. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, actually, I know this is a bit sad, really, but we could take the glove a little bit further here. But I've known to do that because it's just a warmer way of kind of putting the glove on. And I've not put the fingers in the holes, basically. You get my point here, where I'm going with this one. The problem, of course, was that although the hand is warmer, because it is warmer and it's comfortable and it's safe, the glove is helping... I still don't have use, of course, of the full hand until I put the fingers in, and that's the point, isn't it? And some of us can be like that. We can let God in certain places. We can let him in a bit of our life, but we don't let him quite take control because we're a bit of a control freak. There's quite a lot of us around, isn't there? And we like everything just so. And we don't really want God to upset us in that way, and he might send us to Africa or somewhere else. And actually, Africa's wonderful, but they don't know that, a lot of them. Okay, and make us do things we don't want to do. Or Hull. I got sent to Hull as a curacy. They said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "Anywhere but Hull." Okay, it was brilliant, by the way. But you never know. You've got that kind of like, I like being kind of in control of my life and who I am and what I do is, So we don't want to do that. We don't want Christ. We like Christ living in us, but we kind of don't quite let him take over every area. So some of us may feel we have Jesus, that we're warm, we're comfortable, but maybe we just haven't let him into every area of our life, that we're still in control. We're not ready to let go of God, We're not ready for his Holy Spirit to take over our lives. We believe, but we're not quite fully working. To allow Jesus to be in you, to be the one in control, can be hard, can't it? To allow and trust the Holy Spirit can seem really uncomfortable. After all, I say, where would he take us? And let's be honest, some of the apostles, actually, not even some, all of the apostles, didn't have the best of times, did they, always? Not in the flesh, if you looked in the flesh. I think the spirit, they were like, way. But, God took them places they didn't want to go. It can be uncomfortable. The Christian life can be uncomfortable. Living fully for God can be uncomfortable. So we crunch our hand up to keep warm. And we don't get quite where God wants us to go. We don't quite live it fully. We hold him back. For some of us, it's just time to do this, isn't it? It's just time to, if I get them in. Oh, I've got the wrong hand. Gave me the wrong hand. It's time for us to actually put the fingers in the glove, isn't it? It's time for us to actually go the full hog and go actually all the way for Jesus. Control of my life. Give you my life, Lord. Live in me completely. Live in every area of my life, not just part of it, but the lot. And this, I think, is what Paul is talking about in this scripture. Christ in me. You can't hold back, he's saying. You can't go, I'm going to be okay here with the Gentiles, but not here. I'm going to allow them in here, but not here. You can't do it half-hearted. You've got to go the full way. Christ lives in you. Through grace we are saved. Show it, believe it, do it, go for it, full whack. And that's what we've got to do today. When you look around our communities and in our world and our nation, we need to go fully for God, for Jesus, because others need to know him. Others need to know the freedom of Christ. So Paul presents us with particular points to think about, doesn't he? We are crucified with Christ when we are his. We are crucified with Christ. Law has no place. That's been fulfilled. Law was fulfilled by the death of Jesus Christ. We now can live fully alive. We are saved. If we know him, we are saved. We are saved and Christ is in us. Whether we feel it or not, it's what we should know, because that's why we have Scripture. Tells us what we can know when it's hard to feel it sometimes. His Spirit is in us, helping us to reach out into the world to make a difference, to be people not of oppression but of joy and freedom. And Paul says he is himself and yet not himself. Isn't that wonderful? I'm myself, but I'm not. It's not about losing your character, losing your fun side, losing who. I think sometimes people think it's about becoming a robot. It's not. I'm Laura, I'm an INFP, I'm a little bit, odd in times, I'm this, I'm that. There's some parts of my character, they're nothing to do with sin, they're just who I am. I'm myself. But I'm also not quite myself, because there's other parts of me that God has redeemed and changed and made different. The presence of Jesus is in us to transform us. All is forgiven. All is forgiven. And therefore we are people who forgive. People who love in a new way, making way for all to know the freedom of Christ. And the other thing is, we live in flesh, but also in faith. It's hard. Acknowledging we get it wrong. We get it wrong, but knowing we also have God who will lift us up in his grace and restore us. When we say, I get it wrong. He does not turn us away. He embraces us and he enables us. Always wants to meet with us. So today, maybe you need a touch, a refilling and touch from the Holy Spirit, something where the Holy Spirit just reveals more of himself to you. Maybe you really resonated with the whole glove thing without the fingers, and you need to spread them out a little bit and let Jesus have every area of your life. I'm going to pray for us, but I also just want to give you a second to maybe think about those questions. What does it mean for you? Is Christ living in you, through you? Just take a moment. I invite you to just stand if you can. I'm just going to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will come and minister to us in that. Remember, there is prayer ministry available over in the corner here. There's prayer ministry at the end of the church. And you can just have the worship panel. I've chosen Oceans as this song because it's about having a faith without borders. It's about being open to all that God has for us in every way. It's about going the whole way with Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, fill us now with the power of your Holy Spirit. Every area of our life. Every part of us, Lord. Minister to us. Help us, Lord, to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, to open our hearts more. That we won't be law givers, we'll be grace givers. Transform us, Lord.